I want today to talk to you about being a Barnabas. This month's emphasis, as David announced last week, is to ask us, each of us, to think soberly about seeing our brethren as God sees them. David did a masterful job introducing that lesson last week. I want us today to think about the concept that has been expressed in a poem that says, "I'd rather see a sermon as hear one any day." I don't know if you're acquainted with that. But sometimes if there's an illustration, you're able a whole lot better to look at that illustration. Oh, so that's what that means. I doubt very seriously that in the first grade, or perhaps even when you get to, if they even teach cursive writings, around the room, up at the top of the room, there was the how to write the large letters and the small letters. You know how you learned to write? You looked at an example, and as you looked at that example, you followed the example. When you could see what it's all about. Now, there are many Bible examples to show how we ought to be concerned for brethren, but is there one that is even any better than Barnabas? How much do we know about this man? And what we want to do in this lesson today is to look at some of the qualities of Barnabas and back away from him long enough to understand that's what this is all about. Barnabas is one of the individual who looked at his brethren. And by the very way he manifested it and the way he interacted with all of them, there is that example that each of us can see, for had we not rather see a sermon than hear one any day? And then we can say, you know, I believe I could do that. What do you know about Barnabas? Well, he was introduced to in the text to us. There was that time whenever there were those who were believers in Jerusalem and those that had property, and they sold their property. And one of those individuals was Barnabas, who had property. And I want to suggest to you that Barnabas is an example of an individual who used the money that he had for his brethren's sake. I want you to think about that. The Bible says, where a man's treasure is, that's where his heart's going to be. And here's Barnabas in Acts chapter 4, and especially in verse 36, after the earlier verses have said and described the situation when those that had property sold their property and laid the money so that others could be taken care of. And there was that great need, for they had come from all nations under heaven, and evidently many of them had stayed behind. They'd not made provision for food and for lodging or for whatever was necessary for them to have. And so those Jews who had become Christians are now there in the city, meeting every day in the temple with the apostles and with the saints. And there they are trying to serve God, but they've run out of money. But there are those Christians that are there, and the Bible says those that had property sold their property. And I have no idea for sure why the Bible says that Joses, who was named Barnabas, that's not the name he had all of his life. But when the apostles saw Barnabas, they said, "We're going to change your name. We're going to name you the Son of Encouragement." You know how we need to look at each other? How can I encourage my brethren? And I have no idea of all that transpired that caused the apostles to look at this man and say, "We're going to rename you. You are such an encouraging individual." But the Bible says, the very first time that we meet him, that he's from the island of Cyprus. He's a Levite. He's of the priestly tribe. And by the way, To become a Christian, had to give up being a Levite. For you see, in Jesus Christ, there are no Levites and there are no people from any of the other tribes. Remember the lesson David preached last night? He didn't take all that had been outside and tried to bring it in. He gave it all up. But he had some property. I think it's rather odd that the Levites normally did not have property, but some way Barnabas had that property and he sold that property. Could that be you? Not asking you to sell your property, but is there a way that you can use the monies that you have to encourage others? I want you to think about that. When you look at your brethren, when you look at the cause of Christ on this earth, do you understand that I might be among those who can really help and use my monies? Now, the poor widow would encourage individuals immediately by what she had. We understand about the widow's mites and everything, but the Bible talks about those spiritual gifts and perhaps natural gifts that are in Romans chapter 12, that a man had the gift of prophecy. And then there was this other man who had the gift of giving. For him to give, he had to have something. Has God blessed you with the ability to make monies? I want you to think about that. To whom much is given, much is expected. And this may not be a supernatural gift that's found in Romans chapter 12, but it says, he that gives, let him give with liberality. You and I need to understand that the poor widows in our church are going to give, and they're going to give sacrificially. But there are others to whom God has given you the ability to make more money than others. The very house you live in, the kind of car that you drive is the very evidence that you have this ability. Where'd that come from? God gave you this ability. I don't know where Barnabas got his property, but when Barnabas looked at that property and looked at the need that was there, you know what he did? I don't need that. I'm going to sell that property. I'm going to sell that property because my brethren need it. Is it possible that in the midst of the situation that we find ourselves, that there are individuals that you may or may know of, even brethren in Christ, who have greater need than they've had? Maybe their jobs are not the jobs that they had before. Maybe they're hurting in many situations. Maybe there's that matter of loneliness that all of us can address. But what a great and marvelous time it is for those of us to whom God has given much to be like Barnabas and said, I don't really need that at all. I remember several years ago, there was a missionary that came to a congregation and asked for funds to go preach the gospel. The church was in such a situation at that time, they did not have the money, and so they said, thank you for that report, but we cannot help you. The man had needs. In that church was a widow. You know the loneliness of being a widow? Her companion in her life was her cat. That may have happened to some of you. You've seen that happen to older people who are lonely. They get pets and things like that. And a few weeks later, somebody came to this widow and said, what happened to your cat? Well, I don't have the cat anymore. Oh, did he die? No. When that missionary came and said, there's a need to get the gospel to others. I didn't have any more money to give than I had been given. And then I thought about all the cat food I was buying. And I had my cat put to sleep so I could help that missionary. Is that a Barnabas? Think about that and make the personal application. That woman was my grandmother. Barnabas was a man who used his money. And think of how encouraging it was when the example was there, Barnabas giving all of that money and all the thing that's transpired. But that's not all Barnabas did. Barnabas was a defender of brethren who were misunderstood. Think about the Apostle Paul. He'd been converted on the road to Damascus. When he began preaching in Damascus, just right after he was converted, he had to flee from the city. And he goes down and spends time in Saudi Arabia, or into Arabia at least, not which we know is Saudi Arabia. It's 3 years down there. He comes back to Damascus, and then at some point right in this period of time, he comes to Jerusalem. When he arrives at Jerusalem, look in Acts chapter 9, verse 26 through 30, he came to Jerusalem and he tried to join the disciples. They were afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how that he, Saul, Paul, had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him and that he had preached boldly in Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out, and he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord. What would have happened if there had not been a Barnabas? Is there somebody you can encourage? Is there some individual that has great abilities and great talents that you could be that individual's? Other people may not see things in that, or they may be judgmental of him in the wrong way, and you're aware of the fact that he's being mistreated by judgments that have been made about him. Barnabas went out of his way. Barnabas didn't have to do this, but it's the nature of Barnabas, the son of encouragement, to say, I've got a brother who is hurting, and I'm going to stand up for my brother. I don't blame the church in Jerusalem, because some of the members of that church in Jerusalem, Paul had killed their relatives. And when the church assembled, in that assembly was the man who was at the forefront of the persecuting of the church at Jerusalem, and he shows up at worship, and nobody, at least many of them, do not want him to be there. He tried to join himself to the disciples, and they were afraid of him. Look at Barnabas. Could that be you? Is there somebody that you could encourage? You try to put yourself in the place of the Apostle Paul, and it's so difficult. Wanting to serve God, they're ready trying to help the cause of Christ, but there's no door of opportunity before him. In fact, that very door is shut. And the life of Paul never would have taken the direction that it took had not there been a Barnabas in his life. Could God use you? Are you aware of some individual who may be in this kind of situation or a similar kind of situation, and you could be that very one who could open up that door for them? Barnabas obviously was the son of exhortation, and oh, what an encouragement he was to the church. Barnabas is there in Jerusalem. He's there whenever before the persecution in Acts chapter 4 and Acts chapter 9. After the persecution, he's still there. In Acts chapter 11, news of these things came that the gospel had gone to Antioch. The gospel is now up there, and there's a Gentile church that is up there. And they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. And when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all with purpose of heart they should continue in the Lord. Would you look at it? Are you that kind of person? Or is your life so filled with the negatives about the church? I'm sure everything was not perfect with the church at Jerusalem. And Barnabas could have been that kind of individual who was that individual who was always negative about everything that was happening, critical of every decision, critical of everything that was happening. You've known people like that in the church, have you not? Critical of every song leader, listens to sermons to find mistakes, critical about what is happening at the church, how the money is being spent, and a thousand other things. And when Barnabas gets up there to Antioch, you know what Barnabas does? Do you know why they sent Barnabas? They would not have sent Brother Negative up there. The church in Jerusalem says we need to encourage those people and we need to send Barnabas up there. Let me say to you, you need to be that kind of individual that is an encourager and an uplifter. He came and he saw the grace of God and he was happy about it. He was thankful that the good things were happening. They might have been not all been perfect, but there he is, excited, and gets up and uses his personality and uses whatever speaking ability that he obviously had, or perhaps in private ways, he was an encourager. You and I need to be those who see the brighter things in the church and say, that's what I am going to be. I'm not going to be Brother Negative. I'm going to be a Barnabas. I'm going to be Brother Barnabas. Can we talk another thing about Barnabas? Barnabas saw the lost world and he taught the lost. You see, you look at those same verses that we looked at this time, starting in verse 23. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all with purpose of the heart. They should continue the Lord, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it great when somebody can study with you, and they're like Barnabas? Isn't it great for Barnabas to be there in that church and him to be that individual who was positive in the way that he looked at things, and he was there, and because of that, the Bible said, many were added to the Lord. Could that be you? You may not be the greatest teacher. You may not be the greatest personal worker in the church, but you can be that individual who can use whatever influences, whatever abilities the God of heaven has given to you to encourage others and to be a Barnabas in your own way. How do you respond when you see visitors come? How do you respond whenever there's been an individual who's obeyed the gospel? We'll talk about this in just a moment. But when an individual's obeyed the gospel, you and I need to understand that for the kingdom of God to grow, there needs to be Barnabases all over the building in every pew who are there to say, one of the things I'm going to do is I'm going to encourage my brethren and I'm going to encourage those that are lost and I'm going to be a part of their life. I'm going to be that individual who uses the very influence that I have. My challenge to you is be a Barnabas. You know what Barnabas did? Barnabas saw the talents of others and he used them. Going back to Acts chapter 11 again, this time beginning in verse 24, after discussing Barnabas in verse 22 and 23, when you get to verse 24, he was a good man. There are only two people in the New Testament that are called good. You remember the individual that came to Jesus and says, good master, what shall I do? And he says, why are you calling me good? There's none good but God. This is an amazing word that is reserved for the God of heaven. And yet the Holy Spirit says, he's a good man. He's a good man. We need to be good people. We need to look at Barnabas and said he's that individual who builds up the church wherever he is. If he's in Jerusalem and Saul comes into Jerusalem, he's building up the church. When he gets up to Antioch, he builds up the church. He is up there, and now all of a sudden the work is growing so much that Barnabas departs from Antioch and goes over to Tarsus to seek Saul. You know how Saul got to Tarsus? Early in the verses that we looked at, when he was in Jerusalem and the Jews tried to kill him, the disciples take Saul and they take him down to Caesarea, evidently get on board the ship and to go back to Tarsus. And now he's been up at Tarsus. All this time we've been talking about Barnabas. Saul is up there in Tarsus. I don't know how the church received him. I have no idea of the things that are happening, but I know that the Holy Spirit had come to Paul and said, Paul, you're going to be a light to the world. You're going to be a light to the Gentiles. And here Paul is wanting to serve God, ready to go. Where's the opportunity? And all of a sudden, Barnabas arrives at his place and he found him and brought him to Antioch. And so for a whole year, they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Here is Paul over at Tarsus with great abilities and great talent, a misunderstood brother, and it is Barnabas. We talk of the greatness of the great apostle Paul, and rightly so, but what if there had not been a Barnabas in their life, in his life? Could you be a Barnabas to others? I preached in the meeting this last year, and Joe Miller was there. You remember Joe and Thelma? David, you talked about Ruby Hazelwood and how she wrote the cards. I believe it was last Sunday you talked about it. Joe was not a member of the church. And Ruby found out that he was coming. And so Ruby, who was almost a shut-in and wrote all of those cards to the other, began to writing cards to Joe. Thelma did not know that she just thought those cards were just sort of disappearing or anything. He was secretly taking every time he'd check the mail and there was a card there. He was secretly taking those cards, kept many of them in his lunchbox. And so when it's time to eat at the workplace, he'd open up. There would be the food that he had brought. But there is that card. There's that card from Ruby. Joe became a Christian. And when I saw them this year, they came to a meeting I was preaching in. We got to talking about this. And Thelma says, he still has a stack of cards this high from Ruby. Could that be you? Here's Paul over in Tarsus wanting to serve the Lord, and now all of a sudden Barnabas says, I can use the influences that I have to cause this man to serve God better. Be a Barnabas. Barnabas could see the value of young men, and he used them. In Acts chapter 11, Paul and Barnabas have gone down to Jerusalem. We'll talk a little bit about this in a moment. Paul and Barnabas are in Jerusalem. They spend there, well, they've gone down there for benevolence, and when they go back up to Antioch, they carry with them John Mark. Here's the son of encouragement. Here is a young man in the church. We know nothing of his father. Now we do know that the church met in the home that belonged to his mother. Perhaps the father was absent from the life of that individual. For the house is attributed to being owned by John Mark's mother. And Barnabas is there, and Barnabas sees this young man. And you know what he does? whenever he's ready to go back to Antioch, where that work in the church is growing so abundantly, he carries this young man with him. But it doesn't stop there. When the Holy Spirit said to the church at Antioch, "Separate Barnabas and Paul because I have a work for them to do," guess what Barnabas does? Barnabas ensures that this young man is molded to be a servant of God. Do you folks know any young men that could be encouraged? Josh, you're preaching. I've never talked to you about it, but in your background there was not only that grandfather and those parents, there were people in the church that helped you preach. David, you've talked about Tom Massey in the past, and the encouragement he was to you and the fact that you looked him up. Tom Massey was an usher, and by that time the Sound Shack was out in the foyer on 36th Street, and Tom Massey was, well, he was a member of the church, but he wasn't a high, big man. But here is young David, and there's a Tom Massey in his life. And there are individuals in my life, I could tell story after story of those members of the church who just out of the blue came and encouraged me. You can be a Barnabas, can you not? Do you know any young men that you could, and young ladies also, but do you know any young people that could be encouraged by you? And thank God for the young people that we have, and thank God for the way that this church has nurtured them. But I want you to be a part of it. Not just that the church generically encourages our young people. Is there something you could do? It's rather interesting. That's in Acts chapter 12. On that first missionary journey, Paul thinks John Mark messes it up. He doesn't continue the journey. He goes back home. And when the time came, after Paul and Barnabas had spent months on that first missionary journey, and they come back, they go to Jerusalem for that conference that's there regarding circumcision. Paul and Barnabas say, "Let's go on a second missionary journey." And Barnabas says, "And let's take John Mark." And Paul said, "No. We don't need him." How would you like to have been John Mark when the Apostle Paul says, "He's not the kind of person we need"? And sometimes there have been words that are said to Christians in various congregations that have been negative and that were discouraged. I put myself in the place of young John Mark, and the Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul, says, "I don't want him. I don't want to be associated with him on this second journey." You know what Barnabas says? "Paul, you're wrong. That's a good young man." And Paul says, "I don't want him to go with us." And the contention becomes so great that Barnabas could have said, "Okay, Paul, you can have your way. Let's go our missionary journey." But Barnabas saw in that young man Mark, he saw something, and he was willing to stand before Paul and defend a young man. And in a day and age in which young people are so critically, are so treated with in such negative ways, what a great need there is in the kingdom of God for you to be that person who encourages young men. And not just these young men on the front, but young adults and others who are young men. It's rather ironic that in the Colossian letter, Mark was on his way to Colossae, and Paul sent word knowing that Mark would be there, and he sent word before Mark ever arrived and said, "Now, you take care of Mark." Paul's wrong. And he says in the Colossian letter, he mentions him again that when he comes there, you treat him right. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4 says, Paul says, he's profitable to me. You can be that kind of a Christian. How do you look at his brethren? You could look at that first century church and find negatives in every church. But right in the midst of all of the things that were happening in the kingdom of God, there stands this man, Barnabas. And he's that man who's not negative. He is that man who has the ability and the energy and uses all that he has, even his own property and all of his energies, to be that individual who builds up and encourages others. That can be you. You know how much the church trusted him? They made Barnabas the messenger of the church. Whenever in Acts chapter 11 there was that famine that was at Jerusalem, guess who carried the money to Jerusalem? It's Barnabas and Paul that carries the money to Jerusalem. And whenever in Acts chapter 15 they send out that letter regarding circumcision, guess who is the messenger that carries that very letter? One of those selected was Barnabas. The church saw him and they'd say, that's the kind of person we need in the church. And finally, Barnabas knew how to take a back seat. When you start reading in Acts chapter 11, it's Barnabas and Paul who carry that benevolent thing down to Jerusalem. You get to Acts chapter 13, it's Barnabas and Paul, Barnabas and Paul, Barnabas and Paul. And then all of a sudden, right in the middle of chapter 13, the thing flips and it's no longer Barnabas and Paul, it's Paul and Barnabas. You need to understand there's a place for there to be a Barnabas out in the forefront, but there is a need for those who are not in the forefront, even though they may at one time have been at the forefront. They need to be the ones who step back and say, I'm going to encourage. Let me encourage you to be a Barnabas. God looked down and he saw Barnabas and saw all that he was doing and saw all that would be, that he someday would do. And God says, and he is a good man. I encourage you to look at the life of Barnabas and see a sermon rather than hearing one. I'd rather see a sermon than hear a sermon. Look at Barnabas and say, I can change and I can do better. And God being my helper, that's what I'm going to do. Be a Barnabas. And now we come to that part of our service where we provide opportunities for people to obey the gospel. You can become a child of God today and become an active Barnabas in the kingdom of God. But you first must enter the kingdom. You must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You must repent of your sins. You must confess your faith. And you must be born of water in baptism into the Spirit, having been taught by the Holy Spirit of God, born of water in the Spirit in order to enter the kingdom. And when you enter the kingdom, there's a place for you, male or female, to be a Barnabas. God help us to do better than we have been doing. If you're an unfaithful Christian, or if you need to become a Christian this day, won't you let it be known by coming to the front as together we stand and sing, will you come?